Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and I'm so glad that those of you who have joined us for this Zoom service this morning are here. And for those of you who join us later, welcome to this online service. And so we're going to begin today by, I'm going to read the mission statement to you all. And if you know it, I invite you to say it with me. You all are muted. And if you don't know it, I invite you just to take it in. It says, we are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's what we are doing as we walk this spiritual path. This particular path that we are on is we are each awakening to that divine presence that lives within us, that which is our very own divine nature and our essence that we come from, that we are here as walking this human path. We are awakening to the fact that that one infinite divine love and intelligence and good of the universe expresses within us. Because what happens is as we come to recognize that and know that and embody that truth, then when we are out in the world and the world is not reflecting back to us, say, love or peace or kindness or gentleness or understanding, we aren't as reliant on the world reflecting that to us because we can summons it up from within us. And as we do that, then we bring love or peace or kindness or understanding to the situation and to the relationship. And as we do that, it transforms that conversation. It transforms what happens in that moment. And then when we leave that situation and when the other person leaves that situation, we leave differently. We leave as more of a beneficial presence because we are less whatever, agitated or irritated or frustrated or whatever it is. So as we do that, we come to the world differently. The world is reflected back differently. And because we're all part of this connected whole, it affects the whole of everything. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be bringing that presence into this world in a way that is beneficial and in a way that is good. Thank you for that. And so as we begin the service this morning, we are going to, Ray Bunch is going to lead us in an evocation and do some sort of a reading for us.
So if you join me right now, just continuing to turn within, to find that place at the center of your beingness, where you personally have a relationship with this divine being, this living spirit, this energy and source of all that is, the one from which you are created, the substance of this spiritual energy is the creation of your body, creation of your existence. And it's through this place you learn and know and understand what it means to be loved unconditionally, where there is truly no mistakes and there is really no right wrong way to do something. Just move forward. Let the past fall away, step into the future, and celebrate your life. Celebrate the grandeur of it. Sense and feel the experience, and be grateful for the realizations that accompany you through life. And so I bless this meeting and I bless Reverend Jennifer Speer, who spends an enormous amount of time preparing for these things and has dedicated her life to to be of service in the way, in this way. And I bless everyone that's here on this Zoom meeting and everybody that happens to watch it. And I also bless all ways of understanding this type of energy and philosophy that we live with. And I say, thank you, God. And so it is. Thank you all. This is a reading from Science of Mind magazine for February. And our spiritual leader, Edward Vion, always writes an article in that. And I picked up most of that article, and I'd like to read it to you. The title of it is Continually Exploring the Infinite. There comes a point in every seeker's journey when they likely realize that no book, teacher, or method can replace the curiosity each of us must have. They must continue to exploring to stay alive, excited, and engaged in life. No matter what path a person travels, they eventually will realize that all creation and beauty comes from the living spirit within, not from a path. All the moment At that moment, some recognize that if there is to be inspiration and love in the world, it may very well have to come from them. It may very well have to come from us. Our founder, Dr. Ernest Holmes, had an insatiable curiosity about all things spiritual. He loved and drew upon extensively on his early Christian upbringing. He embraced as much of spiritual world beyond Christianity that was available to him. The infinite cannot be trapped in one infinite teaching. The whole of the divine cannot be captured in one book. So our explorations of the infinite must continue, growing and evolving through our curiosity and our willingness to remain open-hearted and open-minded. And he ends this with a blessing. May you be filled with curiosity, adventure, and revelation on your spiritual path and your spiritual journey. And I just want to add, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Nice. And so we're talking about curiosity today. And so have you noticed how curious children are? You know, from a baby putting their hands and their feet in their mouth in order to discover them and explore them and possibly to see what they taste like and feel like, to toddlers, how they will pick up everything and look at it and rattle it and shake it and explore it. You know, and if you leave your purse out, a little child is likely to go through your purse and pull every single thing out of your purse just to see what's in there. And of course, then as children get a little bit bigger, they get to that why stage where every single thing that you say afterwards, they say, why? Little kids will take things apart just in order to see how they work. And I know me, when I was a little kid, everywhere we went, I always had to go to the bathroom. And it was actually just to see what other people's bathrooms looked like. And Colleen tells the story when her niece was a little girl and she would come over to stay at their house. If anybody was in the shower, she'd go and she'd pull the shower curtain open just so she could see if they had the same body that she had. It's about exploring. And so, excuse me, we are all born curious. We want to know how things work. We want to know why things are. And as we get older, when things aren't working according to the way that we want them to work, we want to know what to do about it. We want answers to our questions, and we want solutions to our problems. The thing about curiosity is that curiosity opens us to possibilities. Curiosity opens us to new ideas. And curiosity opens us to new understandings and new ways of understanding things. But the problem is sometimes as mature adults that we are, is that curiosity gets dampened. And I think one of the ways and the reasons that our curiosity gets dampened is because of the judgments that we have, that we judge people or things. And once we've judged those people or things, it closes us off to other possibilities. It closes us off to other perspectives and to other information. Not being curious and already having a judgment, a conclusion that we've drawn, closes us off to a greater understanding of someone or something. Perhaps maybe you've decided already in your mind that someone is bad or wrong. What happens then is that decision, that conclusion closes you off to understanding that person in a greater way or to even understanding their situation. Our judgment stops our curiosity. It stops our curiosity as to why someone's doing something, why someone's being the way that they are. It keeps us from understanding another person's thinking or another person's motivation or another person's beliefs. Our pronouncement of how something is or how someone is stops us from having any other inquiry. I have a friend, Patsy, who is one of my very best friends, and she is a Republican, and so is her husband, and they vote Republican. And I have political conversations with her, and I've asked her why it is that she's Republican. And her answer to me is that she and her husband actually believe in smaller federal government because local government understands its people and the needs of those people much better than a big government that isn't local right there. And when I hear her reasoning, it makes perfect sense to me, and I absolutely understand her perspective and what she's thinking and why she's thinking that way, and it makes sense to me. Well, Albert Einstein said, "The mind that opens to a new idea never returns to its original size." That curiosity stretches our thinking. And so another thing I think that closes us off as adults to our curiosity is that we have actually been shaped by the idea that we must be perfect. And not just must we be perfect, but we also have the idea that there is really a answer, there is really a behavior, or there is really a rule that is correct. And because we have to be perfect, that means we must already possess that answer, that behavior, that rule in order to be safe and in order to be okay. So maybe it looks something like you learned a particular behavior or a particular rule when you were a child. And as a child, you deemed that to be correct. And now that keeps you from exploring other possibilities. And I know that we've all had that experience in our lives, learning things like, you know, women can only do such and such, or men can't do such and such. Or maybe even the idea that as you get to a certain age, you can no longer whatever it is, fill in the blank. And maybe you've come up against that, and maybe you've had to argue against that and out of curiosity, explore what else might be true. Maybe you were told some silly ideas when you were a kid that you adopted and deemed them to be right. And because you have to be right and you have to be perfect, you hold on to that. Some idea like maybe if you get your feet wet, you'll get sick. Or an idea that it's not safe to travel alone. Well, I've told you this story before and I have to tell you again because it's just so amazing to me. Years ago, I had a client who was telling me how much she wanted to do across country road trip and how she was afraid to do that. She wanted to go. She was going to go by herself, but she was too afraid to do it. So she wasn't going to go. And so my assumption was something like she was afraid that she might get lost, or she was afraid that it would get late and she wouldn't be able to find any place to stay. And then what would she do? Or maybe even that she had the idea that it wasn't safe as a woman to travel alone. And when I asked her why she was afraid to go, the reason was she was afraid she would run out of gas. Because when she was a kid, the gas gauge on her dad's car didn't work, so they used to run out of gas. Talk about living from an old story, from an old idea, for something you adopted as a truth. And then she was continuing to live that out rather than being curious. Well, I wonder how else I could work this. Go to the mechanic and make sure my gas gauge works. Stop every 200 miles and get gas. Don't let my tank get below a certain level. There's lots of options, but she was holding on to the old story rather than being curious about what else might be true. And we as adults, us here, we want to be open to possibilities. We want to be open to the good that life has to offer. And we want to be open to our greatest possible life. Ernest Holmes told us, the thoughts, ideas, feelings, hopes, expectations, doubts, fears, and faith make up that thing within us which is attracting or repelling certain experiences. All of those thoughts and those ideas and those beliefs either draw things to us or repel things from us. And our curiosity opens us to new possibilities. So when we have a curious mindset, that is attracting the things that we would like to have towards us rather than pushing things away. And so the title of my talk today is I Wonder. And I'm talking about how curiosity opens us, that it opens us to new understanding and to new ideas, to new solutions, things that we wouldn't see without curiosity, because without curiosity, we wouldn't be open to them, so we wouldn't even perceive them. And so Mark Nepo tells a story in his book of Awakening that says, it was a philosopher, Michael Zimmerman, who told the story of a boy being in school when someone passed him a pair of Chinese handcuffs, a seemingly innocent thimble-like casing with an opening at each end. It was passed to him without a word. And of course, through curiosity, he slipped his left finger into one end and then his right into the other. Mysteriously, what made them handcuffs was the more you tried to pull your fingers out, the tighter they got, the tighter they held. Feeling caught, he panicked and pulled harder. The small cuffs tightened. But suddenly, it occurred to him to try the opposite. And as he leaned his fingers into the problem, the small casing slackened, and he could slowly and gently work his fingers out of there. If he had been thinking that he already had the correct answer to pull them, he never would have gotten out. And our thinking that we already have the correct answer, that we already know what is right, and our negative judgments keep us from new possibilities. when we think we already have the answer, we already know the way, it keeps us from other possibilities. And so then if we want to be curious, where and how do we begin? I think we begin by knowing that God is for us, by knowing that if God is for us, then life is for us. Ernest Holmes tells us the first step in overcoming any fear is to concede that God is for us. This done, we have at once overcome the fear by seeing that there's nothing to be afraid of. When we know that God is for us and that life is for us, then it feels safe to let go and to be curious, to let go of having to be perfect, to let go of already having to possess the correct answer or know the way things are. We're safe to let go and explore. When we feel safe like that, then we are safe to step out of our comfort zone and to step out of the box that we have created for ourselves that feels safe. Mark Nepo told us, how far we can see into the deep ocean depends on the calmness or turbulence of the surface. When we know that we're safe, and then we can let go, and we can explore other possibilities, that's because the surface of our mind has become calmer, like the surface of the ocean. And when that mind is calm on the surface, we can see more deeply into other possibilities, into other options, into other ways of seeing things, other ways of being, other ways of doing things, other possibilities and perspectives. When we relax like that, we can see those things that were already at the periphery but weren't available to us when we were holding onto that judgment, whatever it was. And then the second thing that we can do when we want to be curious, when we want to bring curiosity into our lives, is to ask ourselves questions rather than knowing we already have the answer. We can ask ourselves questions like, I wonder what else could be true besides what I've already judged, besides what I've already concluded, besides what I've already decided is the story here. What else could be true? We can ask ourselves, what else might be happening? What else might be happening besides what it is that I have witnessed? And so I'd like you to repeat those after me. What else could be true? What else might be happening? And the opposite of that sometimes is we feel like we get stuck when we don't already know the answer to something. When we have a problem in our lives and we don't know how to solve it yet. And then we get into saying, I can't figure this out. I don't know the answer. Or I'm never going to figure this out. Whatever kinds of things that we tell ourselves. But instead, you can ask again, I wonder. I wonder who can help, or I wonder who can assist, or I wonder how my good will show up, whatever the good it is that you're seeking, or I wonder what is mine to do in this particular situation. And so I invite you again to say that after me. I wonder who can help. I wonder how my good will show up. I wonder what is mine to do. Do you see how that opens you up to possibilities that you wouldn't otherwise see? I wonder what else could be true about this person or this situation that I'm judging that I think I already know the entire story. I wonder what else could be true about them, about their reality, about their thinking, about their beliefs. I wonder how my good is going to show up. I'm seeking friendship, or I'm seeking abundance in my life, or I'm seeking whatever it is. I wonder how that good will show up today. It opens us to an answer It opens us to possibility. And so there's a story that says, one day as a boy, Thich Nhat Hanh looked into a large water-filled clay jar and saw a beautiful leaf of many colors. It rested on the bottom of the jar, out of his reach, out of the reach of his arm. He found a stick, but no matter how he swirled the water, he could not make the leaf rise to the surface. Giving up, he walked away. When he returned a few minutes later, the leaf lay upon the surface of the water, and he picked it up. The water had continued to swirl while he was away, leaving the leaf on the surface. This is how the unconscious mind works. When we have a problem to solve, struggling with our conscious mind becomes futile at a certain point. We must be able to stir the water and step away for a moment. And I know that we have all experienced that. You're trying to come up with a word, or you're trying to remember something and you can't come up with it. And then you quit thinking about it. And sometime later, sometimes it's 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden the answer pops into your mind. It's the same thing with curiosity. We quit focusing on the problem and how we don't know the answer or the situation that we've already deemed to be a certain way. And in our curiosity, we say, I wonder, and it leaves room for new answers and new ways of seeing things. It leaves room for something new to float to the surface. In our curiosity, we loosen our grip of thinking that we must already possess the one right answer. And it leaves space for that leaf to float to the surface. Our curiosity creates room for the creative intelligence of the universe to come forward, to reveal itself to us. It creates room for that creative intelligence of the universe to orchestrate things on our behalf. Curiosity tunes our minds to new answers, to look at things in new ways, to look in new places, and it opens us to that creative flow of life. And so my invitation to you this week is, rather than announcing this is the way things are, or rather than announcing I don't know the answer or the solution, instead inquire, ask, I wonder what else might be true here. I wonder what else might be happening. Or I wonder who can assist me, or who can help me, or I wonder how this new way of doing this thing will reveal itself, how my good will show up. I wonder what mine is to do in this thing, and to live in the question and to be curious about the possible answers and solutions and ways of seeing things. And as a result of that, we will each be open to a universe of possibilities. We will each be relaxed enough to see a new solution. And we will have a greater sense of peace and well-being as we move through our lives. And so blessings to you on your path, and blessings to you as you embody creativity and curiosity and openness and wonder, and how that serves you. So blessings to each of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so as we turn our minds to that one infinite presence and power, that one that is the creative cause of all life, that one that is intelligence itself, that is creativity itself, that is life itself, the life that we are each living, the life that is living itself out throughout all of creation, that this is the thing that we live and move and have our beingness within. And it is that one creative love intelligence of the cosmos that expresses as our own divine nature, as our own inner beingness. And so today we lean into that, knowing that in that mind of God, there are so many perspectives and so many solutions and so many answers, for it is an infinite intelligence and it is an infinite creativity. And so we recognize that wherever we go, we carry this with us. And it is in our openness that it reveals itself to us. And so today we step into our day and into our week and into our life with curiosity and with wonder and with openness, living in the question, I wonder, and opening and listening to the answer. And so I recognize right now that that infinite presence is pouring each and every single one of us out a blessing that is so full and so beautiful that it overflows our lives. And so I also speak this word, not just about us here, but about every single politician and every single decision maker, every single leader, every single person of power, knowing that that same infinite creative intelligence lives within them. And that right now it is revealing itself as new ideas and new ways of doing things. It is revealing itself as solutions and answers that we have yet to bring into this world. For absolutely, we live in this infinite creativity. For that, I'm grateful. I speak this word about every single person on this planet, knowing that that same intelligence is right where they are. And not just is it an intelligence, but it is a love. It is love itself. And that leads and guides every single decision that is being made on this planet into creating a world that works for everyone, creating the life that God intended for each of us. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding itself right now. And for that, I am grateful. And in that, I say, and so it is.
See how amazing that is.
The
guidance of my minister is so precious.
All right, let's go.
You guys realize what a wonderful sermon this was today and how great it is to have somebody that thinks all these things for us and brings them to us. So I'd like you to join me in this affirmation. If you'd read it out loud, it would help me a great deal. And if you want to listen to me stumble through it, go ahead. My curiosity opens me to new answers.
New perspectives, understanding new ideas, and new solutions. Rather than having the answer, I ask, I wonder.
I wonder.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Nice. So listening to Denise's song about love made me realize also how you need to close out your screen share, Ray. Yeah. There you go. Made me realize also how curiosity really opens us to love. And being that we are in the season for nonviolence and looking at ways to be nonviolent, kinder, gentler, more inclusive, more loving in the world, whenever I'm curious, it moves me out of my judgment and I'm able to love more easily. When I get out of my saying, I don't know the answer, also, it makes me softer and gentler, which is more loving to myself. So our curiosity also contributes to a world of nonviolence. And I love that.
Yeah.
And so that actually concludes our service, I believe. I don't really have any invitations for you, except we hope to see you next week.